Welcome to the Learn Chinese Insights podcast brought to you by ChineseTrack.com. Every week we interview expats from around the world who've learned Chinese to find out how they learned the language and how it helps them in day-to-day life. So with me today, I'm happy to have a good friend of mine, Michael Gordon.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. So before we get started, Michael, why don't you just give us a brief introduction in Chinese? Tell us who you are, where you came from, and what you're doing here in Taiwan right now.
Okay. 你好, 我叫 Michael. 我的中文名字叫葛孟德。 我在台湾已经25年多了。 然后我是英文老师, 我教小朋友叫志远。 我住台中, 然后我有结婚, 我有两个小孩。 我很喜欢住台湾。 然后我觉得我们可能要继续住这里还要几年。对，就是这样子。All
right, very good. So you've been in Taiwan for quite a while now, right?
Yeah, I came here in 1996.
Oh, wow.
And originally, I originally intended on only being here for 1 year. Uh-huh. And I ended up staying, the first time I came here, I ended up staying 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I went back to Canada to sort of see if I could, like, you know, get a life going there, and it wasn't really, I wasn't happy there, and so I came back, and I've been here ever since.
Okay, so yeah. What made you choose Taiwan in the first place, like coming from Canada here?
Well, I actually used to live in China. I lived in China for a year.
Mm-hmm.
My intention, when I was like 19, 20 years old, and my intention was to study Chinese medicine.
Wow, okay.
So I was going to be like a Chinese medicine doctor.
Yeah.
And I went to China and I started studying Chinese at a university in Harbin, Heilongjiang Dashue.
Okay.
And well, I realized that the amount of time and just dedication it would have taken to first study Chinese and then, like, after that start studying Chinese medicine would have just been so long, and I wasn't ready to put that amount of time and effort in. So I ended up going back to Canada to finish my university.
Okay.
And after I graduated, I was looking for work, and a friend of mine from high school, he called me up and he's like, hey, how's it going? What are you doing these days? And I was like, well, I just graduated from university. I'm looking for work. He's like, oh, you can come and work in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Taiwan? You mean like where they make everything? Because mm-hmm. people used to make stuff in Taiwan almost more than they did in China.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what are you doing in Taiwan? What's going on? He's like, well, I'm an English teacher and it's great. So I was like, okay. So I ended up coming to Taiwan. Like I said, I originally intended only for a year because uh-huh. I had a girlfriend at the time who was also traveling. She went to Bolivia.
Okay.
And she was going to go for a year. And I was like, well, I'll go to Taiwan for a year. And then, we'll get back together in Canada. And that didn't work out. So I ended up staying.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of my time here in Taiwan.
So when you came to Taiwan, could you already speak some Chinese from your time in China?
Yeah, for sure. When I went to China, I couldn't at all.
Right.
So I was a newborn babe in terms of the Chinese language. But I learned really fast because...
So was that in an actual like language center type
thing? Yeah, I was at Harbin. I was in Heilongjiang University.
Okay.
And I went into the Chinese program there. So they started.
And how long were you in that program?
1 year.
Okay.
And I was the only Canadian.
Really?
There were two Americans about mm-hmm. my age as well, and a lot of Japanese, and a lot of some Koreans, and a few Russians as well.
Yeah.
So, and I was living in a dormitory there. It was just, there were two buildings where all the foreigners lived. It was mm-hmm. very kind of closed and controlled.
Yeah.
And so it was a nice experience. Like I said, I was 19, 20 years old. So I was
in
a dorm, and it was kind of like a hotel almost.
Yeah.
And we all stayed there and just had fun and learned Chinese every day. So
that Chinese that you had learned while in China, when you went back to Canada, you didn't use it at all?
Not really. There were a couple of times when I surprised people.
Like just to
I
remember, show off, yeah.
What's that?
Just to show off. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember riding my bike at Carleton University, which is in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I was behind some people, and it was two Chinese people, and uh-huh. they were kind of standing on the bike path or the path uh-huh. where I was trying to go around. So uh-huh. I was like, 对不起，可以借过一下 something like that. And they were like,
double
that was one of the, like, you know, very rare occurrences where I ended up speaking any Chinese there.
Sure.
So when I came to Taiwan, I had the kind of like Beijing accent or the northern accent, and the people were surprised. They said, wow, you sound more like you're like from mainland China.
The Erhuan, yeah.
So it took me a while to kind of start picking up the Taiwan accent.
Right.
But I didn't officially study here when I came here. I just started working and just practicing with people on the street and that kind of thing.
So in China, you had also learned characters?
Yeah, we learned jianti zi there.
Simplified, yeah.
Yeah, simplified characters. And so I think I learned 500 characters, most of which I've forgotten because I almost never write Chinese now. And So, but yeah, it was a good program and it was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And I went from zero to, I would say, 60 or 70% of what I know now that first year.
Probably. Yeah. I see. All right. So when you came to Taiwan, you said you didn't do any formal study here. So did you find your level of Chinese, did it still improve by being here or did it stay the same or what did it do?
It kind of over the years, it's gradually improved. But to be honest, I'm a little bit ashamed at how little I know compared to, like, when I think about, for example, a Taiwanese person going to Canada or going to America for 25 years, you would kind of expect their English to be at a certain level, you know, especially if they went there when they were like 20. I came here when I was 23.
Right.
So, you know, like you would think that their English would be quite good. And when I think about how good my Chinese is compared to how long I've been here, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I can speak decent sort of day-to-day, you know, sort of street level Chinese.
Yeah.
But anything that requires anything more advanced, like if I have to bring in the car for repairs, I have no idea what to say to the mechanic. I have no idea.
Technical vocabulary.
The car is broken, basically.
Right.
That's all I can say. I can't say anything about the parts or that. So,
but see, once you have the basics, you have enough to at least communicate that. Even if it's broken, at least you could say that much, right?
For sure. Like, I definitely feel like I can get by and have conversations with people. And it's definitely enough to kind of assist my life here, really.
Sure.
Easier. Yeah.
Yeah. So how about these days with, obviously, the time that you've been here, technology has improved a lot. So has that made a difference or improved the quality of life, like technology when it comes to language?
Absolutely. Like, because I have two kids, and they're in school, and we get a lot of messages from their teachers.
Yeah.
And I use my smartphone to translate things. I use Google Translate all the time. And because I have a Samsung Galaxy Note, I can use the pen.
Okay.
And one of the functions of the pen is that you can use the translate function. You can hover your pen hover my pen over, and then it will translate exactly everything that's on the screen, which is very helpful. Instead of having to kind of cut and paste, you know, like you have to go in and select it and then move it into Google Translate and then translate it that way. It's really tedious. So I use my phone a lot to translate things. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to understand 95% of what the teachers are telling us.
Right.
And there's a lot of instances where I use technology to help me to get by here.
Yeah. So the Chinese you have learned, how does it help you in day-to-day life here in Taiwan?
With everything, really. Like if I want to go out and buy some food, I can just say what I want and I can, you know, have small conversations with people. Sometimes people ask me questions. I've even had people ask me directions here because I've lived here for long enough to know the roads and you know, how to help other people.
Right.
And just, like making friends and sometimes going out somewhere and just having little conversations with people.
Yeah. It's
everywhere. I use the language everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as far as your kids, so they're studying in school. So their school is all in Chinese?
Both my son and my daughter have been mostly in Chinese schools for their lives. They went to kindergartens that were in Chinese. They went to elementary schools that were in Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're fluent in Chinese and they can read and write.
So would you say your kids are equally fluent in English and Chinese? Or is one stronger than the other?
Speaking, maybe. but not reading and writing. They're definitely better with reading in English and writing in English. Yeah.
I see. So looking back on your journey through starting learning Chinese to where you are now, if you were to go back, is there anything you would do differently? Like in terms of, have you found, you know, some approaches work better for you than others or anything like that?
Yeah, I think, like I said before, because I feel like I wish my more advanced Chinese was better, like anything that has specialized vocabulary and that kind of thing. I do wish that I'd spent a bit more time in my early years in Taiwan learning more advanced Chinese. I think it would have been, because I do get frustrated sometimes, even though I do have Google Translate.
Yeah.
There are times when whatever it is, the form that I'm looking at isn't able to be translated, or I need to ask help from my, you know, my Chinese co-teacher or somebody around. And so I do feel limited in that way in terms of reading and more advanced Chinese. So if I could go back, I think I would have probably studied a bit longer, maybe like another year formally, and tried to get my Chinese more advanced. And because, you know, of course, at that time, I didn't know I would be living in a Chinese country for that long. But yeah, in hindsight, I think I wish I would have studied longer and gotten a more advanced vocabulary for sure.
Well, in your current position, since you have the basics, if you wanted to right now just dive down into a particular subject and then improve your vocabulary in that area without having to go into class or anything, is there something you could do if you really wanted to?
I mean, there's always online classes.
Yeah, I
know that you have some hand in that. That would be one of the things that I might do. And just I did take about 6 months of tutoring here.
Okay.
Maybe like 10 years ago. And just to kind of bring my Chinese level up, it did help.
Yeah.
But I think because I was already, you know, I think I was already probably close to 40 by then. So, you know, the older you get, it gets a bit, you have to really study a lot harder to kind of get it going.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I think that did help.
If you wanted to dive down into a subject to improve your vocabulary, I guess you could find a tutor just to talk about that subject. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey with us.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. And I'm glad you're doing this. This is really awesome.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.